We are grateful for people who come into our midst and want to be a part of who we are. And we just pray that you'd be with Nate this morning. May your spirit be upon him as he speaks your words to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dennis. The text for today's sermon comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, starting in verse 22. If you want to turn there in your pew Bibles. I wanted to start this morning by expressing my gratitude to this church for being so welcoming to my family. It was not an easy transition moving from Boston. My early job troubles that many of you know about made it all the more difficult. On top of that, we found out our first week in Caldwell that we were going to have another baby. And in all that, many of you here have offered regular words of comfort and prayers. And for those, we are thankful. As for the baby, I'm sure you've heard, she is finally here. My daughter, Genevieve. She is healthy, and I'm happy to announce that last night she only woke up once. That was a huge blessing to us. Which is why Abigail is even now earning some much-deserved sleep at home. Genevieve's birth is fortuitous for me, because it's a perfect setting for what I want to do this morning. Today, the first Sunday after Christmas, is known in the Christian tradition as a season of Epiphany. It is a little known period, so short that most of Christianity passes over it completely. Epiphany is a celebration of Jesus' appearance to the Gentiles in the form of the three magi from the Gospel of Matthew. But there's something deeper to Epiphany that I think is vitally important to us, particularly at this time of year. You see, the word epiphany comes from the Greek word to appear or be revealed. You can see how it became related to the Magi in this sense, as the star appeared to them in the night sky. Or perhaps we can connect it to the shepherds as well, who not only see the star but are treated to the appearance of a host of angels. And yet Epiphany is also about revelation. Not the book of Revelation in our Bibles, but something far closer to home, far more intimate to each of us. It's a revelation that spark first began long ago, before the advent of Jesus' birth, and will continue on until long after we are gone. A revelation that spans time and space and creation, and comes to us first in the stories of Simeon and Anna from the book of Luke. Starting in verse 22. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what it says in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought him in, brought the child Jesus to do for him what is customary by the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband only 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let us pray. O God, you are our God, and we earnestly seek you. Father, in this moment, as we prepare to take yet another step into a new year, with new days and new months and new events, we ask that you be with us, that you step into our lives and remind us of the promise that you have put before us, of the hope and the expectation that we eagerly await. In your Son's holy name, I pray. Amen. Every day began the same way, with effort. The sun rose in the morning, peeking through the gap in Simeon's window, and when it did, his body instinctually knew what to do. He rose, he dressed, he ate a small meal, and he walked to the temple. Simeon could not remember when it had been any different. He was so old now that it seemed more than a lifetime ago that his routine had been different than it was now, as if it was another person entirely. And indeed, it was a different person. All the vigor and recklessness of his youth was barely even a memory. Even the painful remembrance of those who had long ago left him behind on this earth were faded. Now there was only this life, a life of solitude, a life of worship, a never-ending cycle. His was a lonely life. The past was gone for him. His friends gone, his family gone. And that was his burden. They had all escaped this world, a world where Israel was ruled by Rome, a world where there was no king in Israel, a world where there was no throne for the Son of David. And in many ways, he envied their escape, for they had not seen the luster of Israel fade. They had not witnessed its holy places defiled. They had not seen the glory of the Lord diminished as year after year after year, Israel was pushed further and further from who it needed to be, a light to the nations. But Simeon had seen it. And now there was only one thing left, to wait for the Lord. Each day, Simeon climbed the many steps toward the temple gates, his walking stick in hand. Each day, as a fresh dawn woke Jerusalem, the sounds of the market grew, and Simeon passed through the many columned porticos of the shrine to Israel's God. Each day, Simeon wandered the halls of Israel's most hallowed places as the priests and Levites drew worshipers near and sacrifice, and each day as he walked, a song beat in his breast, murmured on his lips. Wait for the Lord, whose day is near. Wait for the Lord. take heart. For Anna, it was different. Anna had lived a long and prosperous life. She'd married young, as most women do, and had loved her husband and their family dearly. She remembered when they were just starting out how they lived in a small village just north of Jerusalem. They had been so happy then, so young and full of vitality. She'd had two daughters at first, and her husband loved them with reckless abandon. Then they had moved to the city because the times grew hard and the Romans made things difficult. But they still had each other. Anna grew older and their family grew and prospered too. Sons, grandchildren, cousins, aunts, uncles, a whole house full of young people all excited about life and living. She watched it as a mother does, treasuring the moments in her heart, storing up love for new ones to come. There were Sabbaths to hold, Passovers to observe, bar and bat mitzvahs to throw. There were weddings and births and graduations, and yes, there were deaths. As Anna grew older, those seemed to become more and more frequent. Her husband died after only 7 years with her, a son lost in a rebellion against Rome, a granddaughter lost to childbirth, another to sickness. But life continued, and Anna grew older still. Time slipped away, and soon they had all gone their own ways. And then one day she looked in the mirror and saw an old woman staring back at her. That was the day she went to the temple. And since then, she has never left. It was ages ago now, but she stayed. And each day as she prophesied in the temple courts, a song lingered on her lips and in her heart. Wait for the Lord, whose day is near. Wait for the Lord, keep watch, take heart. There they waited, Simeon and Anna, patient for the Lord, expectant of the coming redemption of Israel, trusting in Yahweh, their God. But the years drag on, day after day, year after year, sunrise, sunset, each day new and yet the same as before. God may be infinite, but Simeon and Anna were not. They were old now, old and tired. They waited patiently. They persevered. But their time was running out. Though Simeon and Anna lived a lifetime ago, their experience of life feels familiar, doesn't it? This time of year is always an interesting one. It contains a mix of emotions. On the one hand, we are still buoyed by the hype of the holidays that so recently preceded us. We can still remember the energy, feel the emotion of Advent. We can almost smell the Christmas that still seems to cling to our clothes. Indeed, we might even go so far as to wait an extra bit before washing some of those holiday garments, get one more extra use out of those new Christmas PJs, or wear that fresh jacket or coat as often as possible. Anything to hold on to the newness and feeling of the Christmas spirit. On the other hand, the early parts of every new year can be particularly difficult. Where Christmas feels like a culmination, a climax to the buildup of the entire year, January crushes us with its cyclical nature of life, beats us down with the weight of the coming days, weeks, and months that are stacked against us. I remember when I first got into sales, I had all the energy that you might expect of someone brand new to a job, and I attacked it with vigor and vitality. And in my first month, I hit all of my goals. I was a top salesman. I went to my manager with a victorious attitude, ready for the next challenge he would bring to me. And I will never forget what he said. "Great job, Nate. Now go do it again." It was a crushing weight. Repetition can often feel like the end of things, and a reminder of the life cycles can bring a sense of futility, of hope for the future. We are not the only ones to feel this. No one is immune. Not Simeon, not Anna, certainly not us. I mean, let's face it. If we're honest with ourselves, the last few years have not been kind to us. Regardless of your feelings about our president or the election of 2016, I think we can all agree that the present political situation seems bleak. We have international friction that blasts us on all sides, and fears of war root themselves deep in our bones. Everybody is outraged about something, so that it's almost impossible these days to actually talk to anyone beyond just generic pleasantries or for fear of causing offense. And then tragedy strikes. We hear of shootings in Las Vegas, race wars in Charlottesville, and crushing hurricanes that threaten to wipe entire cities from existence. And we must wonder to ourselves, was it always this bad? But in truth, we already know the answer. Each year provides its own tragedies, each day its own griefs. The cycle continues. If there is a light at the end of the tunnel, we can't see it. If there is peace for our lives on this earth, it is elusive. We want desperately to see the coming of the Lord. We yearn for the redemption of all creation, but like Simeon and Anna, our time in this place is short. And against the vastness of eternity, we are but a breath. And our time is running out. Such thoughts must have been a constant companion to Anna and Simeon. But one day, everything changes. In the midst of the crowd stood a young couple with a bundle in their arms. They were unassuming, not dressed in finery, and their confused looks showed that they were clearly not regular visitors. But something drew both Simeon and Anna's attention, something they couldn't put a finger on. Perhaps it was some lost memory of familiarity, perhaps it was a nudge from God, but whatever it was, they walked over to meet the young couple and their baby, and when they saw them, everything changed. When Simeon held that baby, for the first time in as long as he can remember, he felt hope. The weight was finally lifted from him. His bones didn't ache. His back straightened a little. His legs felt fresh, and his heart beat wildly in his chest. Here, finally, God had done it. Here, in his hands, was the salvation of Israel. This little child, just a bundle of flesh and cloth right now, hardly able to open his eyes. Here was the presence of God. Here was the promise he had waited for. And Simeon worshiped. And as he did, a flood of emotions rushed through Anna. The long waiting and expectation, the slow grind of life that had given and taken so much. All the time she had spent in prayer and worship, looking for God in the big and small places of the world, here she could sense the world had shifted. Something was different now. Something was new. Her waiting had not been in vain. And so she prophesied. Our lives as Christians are often harder than we let ourselves consciously admit. Though each day we occupy ourselves with the task of living, deep down, the core of our beings groan like the rest of creation, waiting expectantly for the day of the Lord. And each time we come to a new year, there is a piece of us, like Simeon and Anna, heaves a deep sigh as we once again start over, fearful of the tragedies, hardships, and pain that another year will bring. Like Simeon and Anna, we too know the inevitable pain that will one day reach us, the little griefs that encircle our lives and close in upon us. There are the big ones, of course, like loved ones lost or broken relationships, and these linger on through the years. But the small ones also build up. Jobs lost, opportunities squandered, debilitating illness or injury that robs us of our vitality, friends and family that leave us, children off to college or to distant lands to start their own lives, even psychological pain of family conflict, financial hardship, crisis of faith. They build and mount until, like Atlas, we seem to bear the whole of the world on our shoulders, and our bodies and souls cry out for release. And so for us today, the story of Simeon and Anna is a word of good news. For in our hearing today, we have seen that God is not a far-off God. Our God is not a God who sits in silence as the world crumbles or passively by while creation drowns in the waters of chaos. No, church, our God is a God of faithfulness and promise. Like Simeon and Anna, we sit in anticipation of the redemption of all things, for God to act mightily in our lives. And if their story today tells us anything, if there is a word of God for us to hear this morning, it is though that though we wait for the Lord, we do not wait in vain. For our God is a God who redeems. A God who keeps promises. A God who acts in the lives of his people, bringing all things together to perfection through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This, church, is the gospel, and it is good news. Let us stand and sing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. And